The following is a presentation of WYM, Westminster Youth Ministry. In this series, we are looking at prayer, asking questions like, what is prayer? What isn't prayer? And how did Jesus teach us to pray? We hope you find it helpful.
Last week, what did we talk about? Does anybody remember?
No.
We talked about praying.
We did talk about praying, but more specifically, what about prayer?
What praying is, what praying isn't.
Okay, we focused a little bit on what prayer isn't. Jesus taught us how not to pray. You remember two things that he spoke about in the passage that we read. Ways that we're not supposed to pray.
Don't do it on the street corners and like show everyone how.
Okay, so don't do it for selfish reasons.
Don't ask for stuff.
Okay, it's okay to ask for stuff, but not like demand.
Not like, I want money.
Yeah. Okay, what was the other way? Do you remember? It had to do with the words that we use.
Oh, don't just like say a bunch of words.
Stop
being.
Yeah.
Stop being.
So we don't just throw up words that don't really mean a whole lot to us. We want to be able to pray in a way that shows that we are communicating to someone. We don't want to just throw out cool, long, theological words just because we want everyone around us to think that we're like super spiritual or anything. Jesus talks about the empty phrases that we sometimes use. Let's talk about how we are to pray. What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Talking to God. Okay. What else?
Praising.
Communication.
Communication.
Adoration.
What else?
Praising.
A what?
Praising.
Praising. Okay, so worship. What else? What else could it be?
Confession.
Oh, confession. Okay. All right, so there's a lot of things that prayer can be. So let me ask a better question. What does the word conversation mean?
Talking to someone else.
Okay. Talking to someone else is two ways. Okay, how is it two ways?
Like, they usually respond.
Okay, so there's a response.
Usually.
It's a what?
A way of human.
Oh, okay, so it's a way of human connection. So it's a way that we can connect with one another. That way we can learn more about each other. We can ask questions. We can answer questions. Communication, there's interaction between two parties. And that's what prayer is. Even though God doesn't physically speak to us, we can still have a conversation, so to speak, with God through our prayers. How does God talk to us today? Okay, through the Bible, through His Word. What does that even mean when we say that God speaks to us through His Word? Okay. Give me more than that.
That's
a Micah answer.
Give me more than that. What's the way that God speaks to you through His Word?
Like when you read the Bible and there's advice in it and like you...
He already said His Word.
Okay.
I know, that's why He said, how do you use His Word? So.
I'm listening. Well, there's passages in the Bible that speak to us directly. We can read a passage and say, man, this really applies to me.
Or,
this is how God works. Yeah. He's working
when you're
through
like reading something and like you read it and you haven't read it in a while and you're like, whoa, this is meaning something different
mm-hmm.
to me
yeah.
now that I've...
Yeah, so the Lord continues to teach us, even if we've read it before. Okay, so let's turn back to our passage from last week, Matthew chapter 6. And if you have a post-it note, go ahead and look up that verse and just stick that post-it note in there so we can save that spot for later. And I'll call upon you for those passages in just a little bit.
Matthew.
I will call upon you.
Yes, Matthew chapter 6.
Not Matthew 28.
Not. Yes, there is, actually. There is exactly 28. That's okay. Matthew chapter 6. If you're in the black Bible, it's on page 811. Can I get a volunteer to read verses 6 to 7?
It's on 8.
Who would like to read 6 to 7?
811.
Yeah, I'll read
6 to 7. Caleb, thank you.
Okay. So when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words.
Again, what does this teach us about how we are to pray? So last week we talked about how not to pray. What does this teach us about how we should pray?
In secret.
Okay, in secret. What does that mean, Micah?
Answer, Micah. Not boastfully.
Okay, not boastfully. Does it mean we have to, like, literally go into, like, a closet and pray? Yes? Okay. No, it doesn't. No.
Yeah,
but what does it mean?
To your room.
What does it mean?
Don't do it, like, in front of a bunch of people just to show off.
Okay, yeah. Again, he's getting after that idea of you need to be praying in a way that it's about you and the Lord. Not about you and the people around you, or you and your friends, you and your classmates, or you and your coworkers. It's about you and God and how you can communicate and honor Him through it. Again, last week we talked about the Pharisees. They use lots of big words. And again, using big words is not a bad thing. But when you use big words to draw attention to yourself, it is a bad thing. Looking at tonight, prayer is word-driven. We've already talked about how words make up a conversation. And how prayer is a conversation, having a conversation with God. But the Word of God makes our prayers different than the prayers of the Pharisees. How so? So if we're seeking to pray well, and this sounds kind of weird, but if we're praying well, what's the difference between our prayers and the Pharisees? Start. One is good and one's bad.
One is good and one's bad.
Okay, what else?
I feel like there's a point of sincerity.
Okay. What does that mean?
Like it's actually meant as opposed to, like, we're actually praising God instead of praising ourselves or trying to lift ourselves up.
Okay.
And others.
Yeah. Else. Okay, so there's sincerity, there's authenticity. What else? The question is, what's the difference between the way we should pray and the way the Pharisees pray?
Well, the Pharisees, very, like, a self-focus on the self, mm-hmm. and just, like, how good they were. Like, the Pharisee, you know, in the Catholic temple was like, thank you for not making me, like, the tax collector,
yep.
and sinners and all that, and everything.
Yes, you talked about how the Pharisee, I think it's Luke 19, says, Lord, thank you for not making me like this tax collector who's standing right next to me and can hear me saying this about him.
Why he said.
Yeah, it's, again, not only drawing attention to oneself, but it's also very selfish. It's very self-righteous. And God doesn't want us to come to Him in a self-righteous way. In fact, He despises self-righteousness because it takes the focus off of Him and off of what Jesus has done. Our prayers to be word-driven, our prayers to be honoring to the Lord. Tim Keller says this about prayer, and specifically about God's Word in our prayers. He said, without immersion in God's Word, our prayers may not be merely limited and shallow, but also untethered from reality. We may be responding not to the real God, but to the God we wish He was like. So sometimes even our prayers, we kind of detach ourselves from reality a little bit. What do you think he means by that? Let me read that quote again. He says, without immersion in God's Word, our prayers may not be merely limited and shallow, but they're also untethered from reality. We may be responding not to the real God, but to what we wish God and life would be like.
It can sort of become a fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, like, even like the way we pray, we don't have any context.
Okay.
Then what are we really doing?
Yeah. Yeah. If something is untethered, he says untethered from reality. If something's untethered, what does
unattached.
That mean?
Well,
unattached. Okay, so y'all ever played tetherball? A ball that's tethered to a pole. So sometimes our prayers can be so far from reality that they're not really meaningful. They can be shallow and limited, like he said. But if we immerse ourselves in God's Word, what do? We know more about Him. We know about Him as Creator, about Him as Father. And instead of praying shallow, limited prayers, we can pray in a way that draws attention to Him and brings glory to Him. Immersing ourselves in God's Word guards us from throwing up those empty phrases, throwing up those empty words, those shallow words. It also guards us from praying to a God that we create in our own minds. Y'all ever think about what God is like? What comes to mind? Is it a bearded guy in the sky?
Santa Claus.
Okay, Santa Claus. Okay. Well, yeah, a lot of times we have this idea of who God is in our minds that's completely drawn not from Scripture. So a lot of people think of God as Santa Claus, like, give me this, give me this, give me this. Here's my list. I want a really nice car. Drop it from the sky right now. How else can we view God that would be in a way that's not...
A
scarier but less jolly version of Santa Claus. What are other ways that we can view God that's detached from the reality of God? What are other ways that people view God?
White, cloaked, long, gray hair, kind of like Dumbledore.
Evil, what do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of people in their lives are mad at God.
Okay.
Always mad at him.
Okay, so obviously if they're praying to him, what's going to come out?
Anger.
Okay. What about, one person told me one time that a lot of people view God as Santa Claus or the Terminator. They're either like always asking him for stuff or they're always terrified of him. He's going to smite me at any given moment. I have to be worried all the time because I'm sinful and he's just going to judge me for it. So a lot of people have this unrealistic view of who God is, and that plays out in how they pray. But if we're immersing ourselves in God's Word, as Tim Keller was talking about, what we're doing is we're reading back God's words to him. What does our Bible teach us about God?
Just, powerful, love, true, sovereign, omniscient.
Mike is going to cover them all.
No, I'm not.
Not all with me.
What do those things teach us about God, Michael?
That
he's merciful and cares about us.
Yeah. If we think he's merciful and he cares about us, how does that affect the way we talk to him? Respectfully, okay? Honoring.
Reverently.
So instead of coming, Lord, I need this, 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 and if I don't get it by the end of the day, I'm going to be upset. It's, Lord, thank you for giving me all that you've given. And Lord, help me in the midst of this hard thing. Let's turn to these passages here. Let's look at how we can let the Word shape our prayers. Who's got Genesis 1:26 through 28?
Yep.
Hannah.
All right, Hannah, will you read that out loud for us?
26-28.
Yes, and then read it out loud and then answer this question. What do these verses teach us about ourselves?
Okay. Then God said, let us make man our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth. So
what does this teach us about ourselves?
That we're made in the image of God.
Okay, we're made in the image of God, and what does that mean for our relationship with him? Specifically in regards to prayer. Like what?
Well,
anybody can answer this question. It doesn't have to just be Hannah. It has something to do with communion. We're made to be in
communion
with God. Okay, so we're made to be in relationship with him. If we weren't made to be in relationship with him, we wouldn't be made in his image. Who's got Romans 3, 9 through 18? This is a long one, so just bear with us.
Romans 3,
What does this teach us about ourselves, Lisa?
We're all sinful.
Okay, we're all sinful. Our communion with God has been what?
Broken.
It's been broken. Okay, it's flawed. There's a huge gap where there used to be unity. So not only are we made in God's image, but there's a problem that we have. Our prayers are flawed. Our communication with him is flawed because of that. All right, who's got Romans 8, 1-2 and 14-17? All right, Jack, go ahead.
There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified.
Okay, so what does this teach us about ourselves, Jack? That yes, we're created in his image, yes, we're fallen, but what?
That we can still be
saved. Yeah, there's hope for redemption. There's hope for restoration of that communion. There's hope that we can be made right with God. So that's ourselves. Let's look at God. Genesis 1:1. Gideon, I think you have that one.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Okay, what does that teach us about God, Gideon?
He created everything.
Okay, he's all powerful. Okay, he has the ability to redeem what's been broken. He has the power to redeem what's been broken. Colossians 1:15-20. Who's got that one?
Oh, that.
All right, go ahead.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fruitfulness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Okay, thank you. So what does that teach us about ourselves, baby? Or sorry, about God. What does that teach us about God? Who's that speaking about? This is a good question.
Yeah. Again, I was just reading
That's okay.
it. Okay.
It's about Jesus. It's talking about how Jesus was there at creation. So it's declaring Jesus as God. And as God, he's eternal. Okay, and he's also been sent for our reconciliation. Again, God reconciles, but he sends Jesus as the means for our reconciliation. Last one, Romans 8:26-28.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
So what does that teach us about God, specifically the Holy Spirit?
That he works in our hearts.
Yeah, the Spirit works. The Spirit works in us as we pray. Okay, and as we pray in Jesus' name. And then when we do that, Jesus is our mediator. He's in the rightful place as mediator. We should heed the caution that Jesus gives about throwing up empty prayers. As we were reading those passages, that helps us frame how we should pray. When we think about how God is all-powerful, that should affect how we approach him in prayer. When we think about how we are sinners, that should affect how we approach our prayers. When we know that the Holy Spirit is powerful and can work through our prayers, that should give us confidence in our prayers. Our main point for tonight is our prayers need to be grounded in the Scriptures. So if we're not in the Scriptures, if we go weeks upon end without reading the Bible, then obviously we're not going to be praying very good prayers. And that's such a weird concept, a good prayer. But I want you to think about how our lack of being in God's Word, because that's how he speaks to us, how that affects how we speak back to him. It's all about what our affections are, what our eyes are fixed upon. And that's what we need to remember about our prayers, that we need to be fixed upon Jesus. Let me read this little illustration here. I found this fascinating, and I like it. It's about Martin Luther's dog. Okay, y'all know who Martin Luther is? Martin Luther, the reformer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was learning about that.
Yeah, so Martin Luther had a dog. This dog was at the kitchen table with him. What happens when dogs see food?
They eat it.
They salivate. They want the food, okay? When Teddy is at my house and he sees food, He is locked in. He doesn't look at anything else, okay? There could be toys all around. There could be anything else all around. All he is looking at is that food. Okay? His dog was sitting at his table, and he was kind of just observing. He said this. He said, "Oh, if I can only pray the way this dog watches. All his thoughts are concentrated on that piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope." And what Martin Luther's trying to get across there is if we pray in that way where our eyes are fixed upon Christ, then we'll see ourselves solely focused on him. And we'll be praying in a way that honors him. Praying in a way that's not like the way that Jesus was speaking against. If our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, we're not going to be throwing up those empty prayers because we're going to be recognizing who he is. We're going to be reading the scriptures back to God. Prayer is talking or having conversation with God. The Bible is vital to our prayers. Next week, we're going to look at a few specifics on ways that we can pray that shows honor to God. Any questions, any thoughts, observations, queries, conundrums? Smart remarks.
Why do you do this a lot?
Huh?
You know, with your Sharpie, you always just like...
It's just a thing.
It's a secondary.
Let me pray for us.
Where's this
primary? Let me pray for us, and we'll be done. Heavenly Father, we do praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you're our Creator, our God, our Shepherd, and our Keeper. Lord, we ask that you would be with us even now as we go and enjoy fellowship with one another. We ask that you would help us to glorify you in all things. Lord, I ask that you would teach us more about how we can commune with you on a daily basis through our prayers, that we may know you more and know you more dearly. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, so... What do y'all want to do?
Thank you for tuning in. We hope this has been helpful for you. And keep an eye out for new audio upcoming from WYM.